Mickey, good to have you with us. It's been a few years since we've talked to you, but we are so excited for this wonderful show you're bringing to town. It was 50 years ago today, a tribute to the Beatles' White Album. How did this all come together?
Well, you'd have to ask the producers that, actually. I can tell you how I got involved. Last year, in fact, it was like the end of last year, I got a call from my agent, and he said that there were these producers who I knew who they were. I'd worked with them before on other projects that were wanted to put together a 50-year anniversary tour celebrating the White Album. And I was like, that is incredible. I mean, I love the album. And then they mentioned, you know, the other possible players, musicians, principals, you know, like Todd and Christopher and Jason and Joey. And I was like, oh, geez, this sounds like it's very cool. You can certainly tell them I'm interested. And they went into negotiations, I guess, and the producers, I typically would start calling promoters and venues and saying, would this be the kind of show you'd be interested in with these players? And that's kind of how it happens, you know, you get enough offers in and the routing works out and all of a sudden a year later or something, yeah. You're on the road, you know, and I'm excited about it. I've done compilation tours before, and I like them. They're fun because you get to sing stuff that you normally wouldn't sing, that I wouldn't sing in a normal Monkey show or a Mickey Dolan show. I get to sing, you know, stuff, and I was and still am, of course, a huge, huge Beatle fan.
And, of course, on the White Album, being a double album, there's a lot of music and a lot of different styles to choose from. There's really something for everybody there.
Oh, boy. I'll say it's going to be a long show. you know, we've all sort of picked the songs that we want to do off the White Album, and the majority of the show will be the songs from the White Album. But we'll also, each of us, do a couple of songs of our solo stuff. You know, I'll do something like I'm a Believer and Pleasant Valley Sunday or whatever. And Toddle, I'm sure, will do Hello, you know. And so the audience will get a pretty well-rounded show. I mean, you know, amazing amount of material, you know, geez.
Of course, when you guys were going strong in the Monkees, you got to know the Beatles, you became friends with them, and they got it. They understood what you guys were trying to do.
Oh, absolutely they did. Well, a lot of other people did, too. Frank Zappa, for instance, was a big fan. He was on the show and in the movie. He got it. And yes, you're right, the Beatles did get it. It was John Lennon, in fact, that was the first one to say that the Monkees are like the Marx Brothers. And he was absolutely right. I mean, the Monkees was much more like the Marx Brothers than it was the Beatles. A very different kettle of fish. Because the Monkees was a television show initially about this imaginary band. You know, there was no such thing as the Monkees. It was this TV show about this band that wanted to be the Beatles. And on the show, if you've ever watched it, we never made it. We were never famous. We never actually made it on the television show, which was interesting and a very smart move by the producers, because it was the struggle for success that endeared it to so many people, kids around the country and the world. That struggle for success is what, because there was all these kids out there in their garages and living rooms and basements, you know, practicing and playing garage bands, and that's basically what the Monkees were. They were a garage band.
If I ever watched the show, brother, I never made it. I had the lunchbox, brother. I was watching. I was there.
Well, there you go.
Now, people,
and, you know, now since then, there's been other examples. Glee is an example.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, where it's a show about a Glee club, an imaginary Glee club, but all the actors on that show could sing, and they could dance, and they could act, and they could do and play. They could do it all. They went on the road, if I'm not mistaken, actually, and did concerts. And then, but in 1966, you know, 67, I mean, nothing like that had ever happened. And so, yeah, there was a lot of the people I cared about got it. But there were people that didn't get it. And a lot of people probably to this day don't get it. But like I said, the people that I cared about got it. And frankly, you know, when you're that successful, you don't really give a crap.
Now, one of the other people who got it, and we've talked with you about him before, because he may be my favorite songwriter of all time, your friend Harry Nilsson, and it's been so great the last few years to see people continue to embrace and appreciate his music.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, he got it big time. I mean, he had his first hit as a writer with us, with the Monkees. He was working at a bank and writing songs and trying to sell his songs around the city. And I remember clearly when he came in the studio, we were doing Headquarters, and he came in and was introduced as this aspiring songwriter. And he played a song called Cuddly Toy for Davey. And Davey said, yeah, I'll do that. That's good. I like that one. And years later, Harry and I became incredibly close, you know, very, very close, our families, and he and I. And he told me years later, he said he walked out of the studio with the publisher, the guy that had brought him in, and the publisher said to him, you can quit the bank.
We're talking with Mickey Dolenz here on Downtown. People may not know this about you because you were a drummer on the show, but the guitar was your first instrument. And is it true that most of the songs you've written are maybe a little more country flavored?
Well, my mom was from Texas, and so I was influenced by, you know, what she would listen to when I was growing up, the Sons of the Pioneers or Tennessee Ernie Ford or stuff. Everly Brothers, I was a huge Everly Brothers fan. So I guess, yeah, I started out playing actually classical guitar, Spanish guitar, you know, Segovia stuff. And, you know, I mean, I studied and I took lessons and practiced, but, I was 12 years old, 14 years old. I mean, and I was okay for a 12-year-old. But then I sort of morphed into folk music from that era, because it was the early, late 50s, early 60s. Mm. So I started doing Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary and singing and started writing little songs. And yeah, but you're right. I mean, the guitar was and still is sort of my instrument of choice. my audition piece, for instance, was Johnny B. Goode by Chuck Berry, my audition piece for the Monkees on guitar. And then they cast me and they said, you're going to be the drummer. And, you know, I said, great, fine. Where do I start? And they immediately put me into a class with a teacher, and I had quite a while. I mean, I could read music. I wasn't starting from scratch. I'd been in bands and cover bands and sat down and played around on the drums. And so, And also, I only had to learn what I had to learn. It was only songs that I needed to learn for our concerts, which were the Monkey songs. It's not like I certainly do not consider myself any kind of a studio cat. You know, there's no way I could go into a recording session and sit down and in front of some sheet music and play some song I'd never, you know, ever heard before. I'm not a studio musician, but I learned to play what I had to know and what I had to play. And I was fine, but I did a similar thing when I was a kid. I had a series called Circus Boy on NBC in the 50s, and they said, you're going to learn to ride an elephant. And I said, fine, where do I start?
I saw a comment a few months ago you were making, and you said that you and Michael Nesmith did your mourning for your former bandmate and friend, of course, Peter Tork, who passed away, that you did your mourning in many ways when he was unable to come out and tour with you and Mike.
Yeah, well, with Peter, it was a long time coming. The short story is he had made an announcement a number of years ago now that he was having an issue, health issues, and he didn't talk about it much after that. But I knew and Nez knew that he was fighting it, you know, and he did. He fought it for years. And so that was not a huge surprise. I mean, it was, you know, sort of, you know, we just knew that was what was eventually going to happen. You know, they were managing it, as they say. but it was still, you know, It still affects you, you know, even though you know it's coming. It still affects you if, you know, if for no other reason you start thinking about your own mortality. With Davey, of course, it was a huge surprise.
Right.
I mean, it was just right out of the blue. You know, he appeared to be very healthy and happy. And that was a shocker. I mean, that just... because he'd actually had a physical, you know, a couple of months before, and you know, because we were going to go on tour, so that was a big shocker.
Can you talk a little bit, Mickey, away from music, about the work you do with Dolan's and Daughters Fine Furniture?
Oh, well, I've always been a workshop tool kind of guy. My father was, friends, and my, funny, ironically, I've been married three times, and all the fathers of my wives, my two ex-wives, and now my current wife, have all been into building and tools and workshops and stuff, which I don't think is coincidental, but... So I've always had a shop. Even in the 60s, during the Monkees, I had a full-blown workshop in my basement. And it was my, you know, sort of way of, you know, relaxing and doing something else. And I've always been, you know, before the Monkees, the casting, before the auditions that year, 65, I was in college studying to be an architect.
Right.
Yeah. And so I've always had that interest, that penchant for that, you know, that kind of thing. So the short story is, a couple of years ago, I was building something with one of my daughters who also loves building things and working with tools. And she's the one that said, you know, we should start a Dolan's and Daughters Fine Furniture. And I was like, that is very cool. And, you know, it's fun. You know, I do it now with my daughter, and also my sister now has also gotten involved, another Dolan's daughter. But of course, you know, every once in a while, like right now, we have to shut it down and post on the website that, you know, we can't take any more orders because Daddy's going on tour.
Mickey, thank you so much. Really looking forward to the show. And as always, we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye now.